from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Voitine.
Happy Monday, everybody. It is the G and Ursula Show. Travis Mayfield is in for Ursula this morning. Good morning to you, Travis.
Good morning.
Good. You good?
Yeah. The last hour, I was a little fired up. Mm-hmm. The texters are a little unhappy with me.
Yeah.
It's okay. Mm-hmm. I'm going to try to just be calm down. I'll calm down for this hour.
Should I not?
No. But I'll say this. Do you have a favorite soda?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay. And everyone here, I mean, even if you don't drink soda anymore, if you had to drink one, there's your favorite soda.
Yeah.
Like my favorite is a Sprite, right, from McDonald's, right? When I hit that thing, I know it's going to taste a certain way.
Yeah.
The thing is, Travis, is when people opened up the Travis Mayfield soda this morning at 9 o'clock, it didn't taste the same. It was something unexpected. All right. Good morning to you, Chef. Good morning to you, Brother Nick. Coming up at 10:30, you know how sometimes you get surveys or you can fill out surveys about a business? Would you send out a survey to your friends about yourself? Like, fill this out about my weaknesses and strengths as a friend. Well, we're going to be discussing that next.
I think the techs are doing that for me right now.
Let's get to it.
What's new at 10?
This is happening today. Jury selection has begun in the trial of Auburn police officer Jeffrey Nelson. Officer Nelson accused of killing 26-year-old Jesse Saray outside a grocery store in 2019. Nelson claimed that Saray had a knife and tried to reach for his gun. Video of the shooting shows Saray with his back to an ice machine when Nelson shot him in the stomach. Then 3 seconds later, while Saray was incapacitated, Nelson fired a shot at point-blank range into Saray's forehead. He's the first officer charged with murder and assault under Washington's Voter Initiative 940. Nelson is still employed by the Auburn Police Department and has been on paid administrative leave since 2019. He earns an annual salary of $107,458 annually, and he's still certified as an officer in Washington State. Despite the Washington State Criminal Justice Training Commission moving to decertify him for an intentional or reckless disregard for the rights of others for 8 years and a failure to meet the ethical and professional standards required of a peace officer. Travis, your thoughts.
What's interesting here is you said it. He was the first charged under 940, and we were expecting at the time that he would be the first to face trial, but because of all these delays, that's not what happened. It was the officers, the Tacoma police officers, who were involved in the death of Manny Ellis that were the first to actually stand trial in that 940 situation, and then obviously they were acquitted, so it makes me wonder whether that acquittal and that entire case could actually make it more difficult for prosecutors in this case to get a conviction. I wonder the sort of next logical step in that is if this trial had actually gone first before the Manny Ellis trial, whether that could have made it easier for the Manny Ellis prosecutors to get a conviction. You know, like, because it's this first trial and we've had an acquittal, now does that mean the bar is that much higher here for prosecutors to get a conviction? Because a conviction, really interestingly, under this law, the sentencing range here could be like 10 to 18 years in prison if prosecutors can get a conviction out of all of this. So the delays potentially have helped Nelson and made it, I think, potentially harder for prosecutors. You don't think so?
No, I agree with you 1,000%. And that last point was the point that I was getting ready to make right there. First, we're talking about this story, some of you probably are like, wait, I think I remember that case.
Yeah, right.
Right?
Yes.
I think.
Yep.
And then some of you are like, oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
I remember that happened in 2019, right? It's 2024. So the delay, no doubt about it, helps him the same way it helped R. Kelly years ago when his trial didn't happen for 7 years or so, because the delay has out of sight, out of mind. Mm-hmm. There's so much news. My next question is this. Let's talk about the salary. He's been on paid administrative leave since 2019. He makes $107,000 a year. Are we as people okay with this process? Are we okay with this whole paid administrative leave? Like you continue to just be employed and continue to get a paycheck the entire time? Or is that just business as usual? We're talking about, I mean, one, here's my thing. One has to give, right? If you're going to give the paid administrative leave, we can't do this for 4 years, right? Like we can't do that. So pick one. If you want to do paid administrative leave, okay, it lasts for this long. You have this long to get this going to trial. Or else this delay is beneficial to the officer.
Which is why it matters what your city or your municipality is doing with their union contracts. You know, we talk so much about Seattle negotiating union contracts with SPD. Mm-hmm. And people are like, why are the details so important? They just need a contract. This is exactly why. The reason that this officer continues to get this pay is because that is what was pre-negotiated in the union contract with the city. It's why these kinds of like cities and voters, if this is something that doesn't stick well with you, you need to talk to your city council members. You need to talk to your mayor. You need to talk to the negotiators who negotiate these things with police unions and say, I don't want that to happen in our city. These are the kind of details that have just gone basically unnoticed because we just don't care about union contracts being negotiated. This is why it matters.
Yeah. I think there's a couple things that make this a lot different than the trial of the Tacoma police officers. One, drugs in the system has never come up in this particular case, because if someone gets shot in the forehead, obviously it's pretty darn clear what the cause of death was. So there's never going to be any question in the jury's mind about whether it was the drugs or the pressure on the chest, right? Another thing that is different, this is all caught on camera. So there is surveillance footage of this, whereas with Manny Ellis, only the tail end of that interaction was caught. The third thing, I guess that is a similarity, is you have witness statements that are directly contradicting what the charged officer or officers said in their post-action incident report. And I don't know if this is going to come up in a trial, but Nelson has like a very checkered history. Our own state criminal justice training academy says there were 17 instances where he showed a reckless disregard for people's civil rights and uses of force. Mm. I won't get into all of these, but just bottom line, this guy killed 3 people as a police officer. And if you talk to a law enforcement officer, they'll tell you, you know what? Maybe once in a career, someone pulls that gun out and has to fire to take a life. The fact that this guy killed 3 people in 8 years, very alarming.
Yeah, it definitely is. Man, let's get to the next one. Let's talk about Tacoma. Now, towards the end of the last segment, we were talking about places and how much money the state of Washington ranking 5th when it comes to how much money you need to live comfortably in this state. And that number was $106,000 going off of the 50-30-20 model, which is 50% needs, 30% wants, and 20% savings. We had a good discussion about that. Now we talk about Tacoma. That's my town down there. Shout out to Tacoma. Well, right now, Tacoma is, and I know some of y'all gonna be mad as living in Tacoma, but let's be real, we gotta share. It is, Travis, the number one most desirable place to rent in the state, according to rentcafe.com. Tacoma also is the number 6 most desirable rental destination in the nation. Your thoughts on Tacoma. Now, I'm gonna have some thoughts, and some people are gonna be kind of upset with me about Tacoma. But go ahead.
I mean, back to the supply and demand thing.
Yeah.
Rent is just less in Tacoma. I'm not saying that it's cheap in Tacoma. I know that it's not. The average rent, according to apartments.com, is like $1,300, almost $1,400 a month.
Right.
Rent Cafe says it's like $1,600, $1,700 a month. So it's certainly not cheap. But the national average is $1,500. So if you go with the apartment.com, it is less than the national average. So it's cheaper to live there. Mm-hmm. I mean, and then I grew up in Port Orchard. Tacoma was our big city that I would go. I love Tacoma. I want people to live. Like, I love the arts district. I love the museum district. Like, there's that Point Reston. There's so many cool things about Tacoma that I love Tacoma. So, like, I love that people are discovering Tacoma as a place that they would want to live. And did you just roll your eyes at me?
That was so amazing.
What kind of amazing. What kind of people?
So good.
So good. Okay. Take those eyes back down.
Okay. Wait, bro, I thought the glasses held me.
You did not cover that up.
Man, my bad.
It was so good.
My bad.
Slow down the video feed. You got to roll that back.
Okay. So first, I got to clarify. I love my people in Tacoma.
Yeah.
I really do. Love it. But now that moved down to Tacoma around the pandemic, right? And during that time, I was like, oh my goodness, I love Tacoma, which I do.
Yeah.
I can't say this enough. I love the people and the interactions down in Tacoma. There's a few things that I'm just not a fan of. And you can't talk about, like right now, if you were to say, hey, come on down to Tacoma, most people would say, the first words they will say to you is you got to go check out Point Reston. That's like the number one place, right? And here's the thing that bothers me about Point Reston. The restaurants aren't that great. They really aren't that great. I'm sorry. It's just not. It's not. And I am sick and tired of, love the views. Sunny day. It's beautiful. People walking around.
That makes
around.
The food taste better.
No, it doesn't. I can't get off that. Like, the food is just, it's okay. And then you might say, well, come over to 6th Ave. Okay, cool. You go to 6th Avenue. And there's a few restaurants there as well. It's cool. But I just find myself constantly having to come north. Now, work-wise, I'm always coming north because, as you all know, I work here north in Seattle. A lot of my gigs and things like that in Seattle. But, again, do I understand why Tacoma is a destination for people? Yes, we talked about this last before. Most people, when they move places, it's cost of living, those type of places. There are different areas in Tacoma where I might go grocery shopping and everything. UP, I like going over there. There's different parts of it, but I don't know. At some point,
Howdy Bagel and Shaka Bra? Like, there's just like some cool little I don't know. I love Tacoma.
No. So you like those? Okay, look. I like to go places where it's
I
like,
know you do. You know I, know, what I, mean? I know you do. You like you, it. Yeah, you do.
You like to put on some jeans and some flip-flops.
I do. That's exactly right. Yeah.
You know.
That's why I love Shaka Bra. Like, Shaka Bra is like my place. And Howdy Bagel, like, is just good people. Like, I'm totally into it.
Right. And I like to go somewhere where it's a little,
I know you do. That's why I can't believe you've never been to Canlis. Like, because you're you're high end. I'm not. I'm trash.
But Travis, you got me off Canlis, though. I don't like the fact that everybody has to wear a suit jacket.
But see, if I am going to go, I'm going to go all out. Like, if I am going to do, I want to wear a suit jacket.
Okay.
But otherwise, I want to wear my Birks without...
That's our high fashion. Not necessarily everyone's high fashion, right? I mean,
you know, it can still be... Never. I'm not going to say it.
All right, here we go. The Washington State Patrol has slapped a driver... Not really. This slapped them.
Should be.
Metaphorically.
I'd like some physicality to this.
They slapped the driver in Lakewood with nearly $1,000 fine. Cairo 7 TV reports that the driver was going 104 miles per hour on I-5 on Thursday. When the driver was pulled over, troopers found that the driver had no insurance. Troopers gave the driver a $991 ticket for speeding and driving without insurance. The ticket cost breakdowns like this. Driving without insurance in Washington is $550 or more. Where speed limits are higher than 40 miles per hour, the fines are, check this out, 1 to 5 miles per hour over is $105. 6 to 10, which by the way, you're probably not going to get pulled over for that one. 6 to 10 miles per hour over is $125. 11 to 15 is $156. 16 to 20, $187. On down to if you're going 40 miles per hour or more over, that is $441 for that fine. Let me say this, okay? If you get caught driving without insurance, I think your fine should be more than $550. Mm. That's first. Second, if you go 40 miles over the speed limit, I think that your fine should be over $441. Even though this fine, which totaled $991, sounds high, I think this fine should have been about $3,500.
I think they should be in jail. Honestly, the average car weighs 4,000 pounds, and that thing going at 100 miles an hour at my family next to you, I don't understand how that's not, a much, much more reckless charge than just a fine.
Yeah, now, but I'm glad. Now, this is what I love about all of this. I love, and Chef knows that this is, like, the way that Ursula is always going, ranting about graffiti, I'm always ranting about speed. Mm. It's always been a problem.
Yeah.
And people always love to, it doesn't hurt to kind of go over a little 10 miles per hour over or five. Yes, it does.
Yes.
Stop speeding. There's a reason why we don't speed. The margin for error is much less when you're speeding. I think that they should make these fines heavier when it comes to this. Like you said, in this person, if you're going 104 miles per hour on I-5.
Yeah.
Yeah, you need a hefty fine.
You need a reckless driving charge.
Agreed.
Like, the insurance is one thing. Yeah. There's a lot of people that can't afford it. So, $550 is painful, but still I'm fine with that.
Right.
But come on, man. You're telling me, like, on a 40-mile-per-hour road, someone's doing 80.
Yeah.
Here's a ticket.
Good stuff. Hey, real quick. My man Ernie and Kent made a good point. I want to give some love to the fish and chip spot that's down on Point Rustin. Yeah, it's fire. You walk up, you're in the line, you're Travis, you're wearing jeans and your flip-flops, and you get your stuff to walk. That is great.
Yes.
I want a foo-foo place that I can sit down and dress up.
You deserve that.
And the places that are dressed up is like, look, I'm going to keep it a buck with you. The best place to me on all of it, I mean, it's not really Point Rustin, but it's down from that. It's on the waterfront, is Duke's.
Yeah.
Duke's got the best tasting food. All right. Coming up next, would you send your friends a survey to rate you on what type of friend that you are? One of us says yes. One of us says hell no. We do that next. It is the Gene Ursula Show with Travis.
This hour of the G and Ursula Show is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors.
This is going to be interesting. I want you to listen to what we're going to talk about now, and I want to see if you got the courage to do it. Question: can you handle the truth about yourself? Are you one of those like me on a Monday after the weekend that refuses to jump on the scale? Okay. A growing number of, this has nothing to do with the scale. That's just me getting off into the weeds here. But check this out. A growing number of people are asking their friends and coworkers for brutal, unfiltered feedback on what they really think about them. Slate Magazine profiled a number of these sites where you can tell it like it really is. There are a number of these sites. Anonymous is one. Spring.me is one. And Less Wrong are others where you can provide feedback or request feedback from people that you know. I will explain further. So basically, Travis, you can send out a survey to your friends. Like, hey, friend, can you fill out this survey about me? And in that survey, they have an opportunity to say things that they love about you, things that they don't love about you, things that annoy them, and all. I'll start first, and I'll throw this right to you.
Okay.
There is no way in the world I am sending out a survey to my friends to find out what they really think of me. I'm just going to leave it at all of my friends think I'm awesome. And you know what? I can sleep well at night. Or when I look at the scale, notice I said look, not step on.
Yeah.
When I look at the scale on the Monday morning, I look at the scale and me and the scale got an agreement. We have an agreement. I won't step on you. You don't ask me to step on you. You mind your business. I mind my business. I'm exactly the weight that I want to be.
Yeah.
Travis, are you okay with sending a survey out to your friends?
I am already sending the survey out to my friends. I am definitely the guy who wants to know. I want to know. So first I'll say that, like, I think I have, I hope, friends who like do give me good, honest feedback. I like Colleen O'Brien on the morning show, for example. We went to brunch last week after I did the morning, and she, like, we sat for like an hour and a half and like just gave each other like honest feedback about it. And it was beautiful and amazing, and I loved every second of it. And I know that she's not gonna pull any punches when she's just like, hey, you're, and so when she says you're amazing and I love you, I believe her, because she's also gonna be like, that was kind of not so this whole thing. So yes, I want to know what people think. Now here I don't want to live my life based on it.
Okay.
I just want to be, I don't want to live oblivious. Like, I don't want to be the here's who I imagine I don't want to be the person who's walking down the middle of the Costco aisle in the middle, slowly with the big cart and their arms out. And I want to get around. Like, I want to know if I'm that person.
Yeah.
I need to know if I'm that person.
Yeah. Okay. Ursula's not here today, so I'm going to make a sweeping statement, even though I make sweeping statements all the time when she's here. Here's my sweeping statement.
Yes, please.
Most friends don't tell their friends the unfiltered truth. Most friends tell each other what they want to hear. I said most, not all. So you're getting ready. You show up to happy hour.
Yeah.
Right? And you show up to happy hour. It's a group of friends. You show up and that one friend says to you, Travis, oh my gosh, I love what you're wearing. You look great. In that moment, you take the compliment. Most friends say, oh my God, love what you're wearing too. A lot of times that's a lie.
Yes.
Because if I love what you're wearing, I would have led with that.
Yeah.
But I find myself lying. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I love those shoes you're wearing. And I find out, like, I love the way the hair on your arms are. So most people don't tell their friends the truth. I'm just being honest. Or they'll say things like, you look great. Have you lost some weight? And I want to be like, no.
Shouldn't we do this more, though? Right? Because we all have these thoughts about our friends, and they all have these thoughts about us.
Yeah.
Like,
agreed.
I can think
it.
There's a friend. Like, if I was going to give him feedback, I'd tell him, hey, bro, do you realize that in every interaction, you will dominate the first hour of conversation by talking about yourself? Or like another one. Hey, man, do you know that we can tell you haven't brushed your teeth in like 4 days? And like, these are things we should know, right? Or I'm sure my friends would have great feedback about me. They'd be like, hey, just so you know, after 3 drinks, you're super obnoxious. So maybe you should tone it down.
So, hey, Chef, I'm glad you brought that up, brother. Here's some examples of some feedback. Here we go. The sound you make when you enjoy your food is adorable, but probably not working for you during business lunches.
Oh.
Here's one. I don't bother inviting you to anything anymore because you flake out and every time I invite you to something. Time out right now. Here's a real question for all of you. All of you right now. Do you have a friend that's a friend, but they're kind of a flake?
Oh, yes.
You know what I'm talking about?
If you don't know him, it's you.
Exactly. If you
that's
don't
exactly
know him,
right.
It's you. I'm talking about that one friend that's always going to be, hey, something came up. Or, hey, not feeling well, got the sniffles. Or, hey, always something. Here's one. Can you please learn how to lead a meeting and present a PowerPoint without reading all your slides. You waste all of our time allowing Janice and Lisa, this sounds personal, to hijack meetings with personal chit-chat. Okay, I'm not going to go into anything. This sounds personal, but I'm going to save myself from not getting in trouble. Hey, Ted, everyone knows you're in... Come on now. Hey, Ted, everyone knows you're the one stinking up the bathroom by the break room. Can you please use the bathroom downstairs so we don't... Okay, all right. I want to comment on something, Travis and Chef. Look, man, the part about the friend that's a flake. We all have that friend.
Yes.
We all have that friend.
God bless them.
But, okay, so why do we keep giving them passes?
Because you love them anyways.
Exactly.
You just account for it.
I mean, at some point, I love that about them. Like, they're so predictable that I just know that I don't actually... I'll invite you, but I don't ever buy the extra stuff to have you at the house because I know you're not going to be there.
Mona from Tacoma says, I'm that flake, G. Now, I want to say, Mona and anybody else,
Mona,
if you can text in and admit, yeah, I'm the flake...
Good for you.
You're actually a good friend.
Yeah, agreed.
Chef, how are you, bro?
You know I'm the guy that secretly hopes everything gets canceled.
Nick, what are you, bro?
Depends on the crowd, but yeah, I'm with Chef.
You be flaking, bro?
It just depends, you know, what kind of, you know, what group are we with?
See, here's what I love about Travis. If I have a party that starts at 5... Travis is going to be there at 5.
At 5. Probably 4:50. Probably, yeah.
And
I'm going to wait in my car, but I'm going to be there at 4:50.
You're there.
And then I'll ring the doorbell at 5.
Yeah. By the way, if you want to share your unfiltered feedback about us,
yes,
I invite you.
Please.
On the Muckleshoot Casino Resort text line.
Okay, one more thing. PSA. If you go to a party... Let's say, like, Travis, you got invited to a party and you told the folks, hey, I'm going to bring a couple friends. And myself, my chef comes and I come. Yep. We all three go to the party. When we come to the party and it was everybody needs to bring something, can we please stop having three people show up with one veggie tray? Can we stop with that? And if you're that person that brings three of you guys, or you bring your entire family, when you got three bad kids... And you and your partner go, and you show up with a damn veggie tray. Can we stop that, please?
You don't want feedback yourself, but you have a lot of feedback for your friends. Just going to say that right now.
Coming up next, we do scenarios. G and Ursula.
Scenarios is brought to you by 1-800-DUI-AWAY.
Okay, before we get to scenarios, we're going to do something different. Nick, wait for this one. So this is going to happen. At 11:30 today, we are going to talk about the responses that we get from this. I'm scared. I don't know if I want to do this, but Travis, you inspired me because you weren't scared to send this to your friends. I'm never going to do this to my friends. However, right now, here's what we're going to ask of you. You get to tell us what you don't like about, what bothers you specifically about myself, Travis,
me?
Chef,
Ursula's exempt.
Yeah. Or Nick.
We're opening up Pandora's box.
We're opening up. No. Here are the rules. You can't say anything that you like about us. Yes. No, no. So text those in. Chef is going to put it together, and we're going to play at 11:30. A straight survey. You're going to keep it unfiltered, what you don't like. Don't send in what you like. That will not be read.
You want me to give you an example?
What?
All right. Missy in the 253 says, if you take a drink every time G and Ursula say, again, you'll get really, really drunk.
I just want to say I am so scared of that time. Scenarios, here we go.
Here we go. So what's the scenario?
I I've been married to my husband for almost 11 years, and we've been together for 18 years. We have two sons, aged 17 and 9. A few weeks ago, I caught my husband cheating. Well, it wasn't technically cheating, but he had some friendly pictures of him with another woman from work. I feel betrayed that he didn't think of me and what was at stake. He has apologized, and I genuinely believe he's sorry, but the problem is that this is not the first time. I feel a lot of pressure from my family to stay with him so that my kids can have their father in their life. The problem is that I don't think I can trust him again. I'm still young enough to be able to move on and possibly have one more baby. The problem is that I genuinely love him, and it's hard to imagine my life without him. I've been a stay-at-home mom this entire time. I don't have any college education or experience in the job. I'm 36 now. I don't know what to do. I can no longer trust him, but I can't picture my life alone. Please help. 888-973-5476 is the Muckleshoot Casino Resort text line. Brother Travis, you're up to bat first, sir.
This is hard. I mean, but the thing is, like, you know, she has to assess what she actually wants and really look at her situation and really have an honest conversation with her husband. Uh-huh. And the friendly pictures, I don't know exactly what that means. Like, well, I'm going to back it up a little bit. And I think a lot of couples get into trouble because they each have a different idea of what their relationship rules are because they've never talked about them. Right. Obviously, she has had problems in the past where she has felt disrespected. She has felt that he's cheated. But have they actually ever sat down and talked about what it is that is cheating? What are the rules in their relationship? Right. So that would be my first thing. It's like, set the ground rules and then hold each other accountable to it. And then the second thing is what I already said. Like, you really have to know what it is that you want. Do you want to stay with him? And then maybe staying with him involves, like, well, maybe we have a more open relationship. Like, if that's what you're gonna do, like, and he doesn't want to change, like, then maybe that's the rule that you have. Mm. So being honest about what your relationship is, talking about it, deciding what she wants, right. And then I can't be her. She's got to make that choice for herself. Mm.
You're staying in your relationship out of fear. You're staying in your relationship because you know that you deserve better, but you don't feel that you have any viable options. And unfortunately, this is... You heard of the trad wife phenomenon that's trending, traditional wife phenomenon. And there's a number of women who mid-30s, early 40s say, like, I was in that position. My husband and I got divorced and I had nothing to carry me. So start planning now for how to transition.
You know, I just want to say, like, when I was reading that, the part that was really scary was them being 36, no college education, no experience, a stay-at-home mom. That has to be scary. And that really made me really feel that, right? Like, I think that, first of all, there's a lot of hard work to any parent that stays home and the other spouse works. That's number one. And two, that takes also a lot of vulnerability and trust of your spouse. So when that spouse betrays us in any way, whether it's a picture, friendly, or something like that, I can imagine what kind of pressure that would bring. And it kind of, I don't really have a suggestion for this, really, because I know people who say, oh, just leave them.
Right. Can you really do that?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Brother Nick, what you got, bro?
Well, I get that there's kids involved in the situation, which does make it a little more difficult, but he needs to grow up and stay loyal to her. If not, I think she needs to move on because it sounds like his priorities are far from where you're at, and he just wants to stick with the mistress, it seems like.
The other woman.
Keep a short leash with the guy, it seems, because it doesn't seem like he's worth the while.
Good stuff. Hey, I just want to say, already... Travis.
Yo. I just logged in and my eyes are like burning.
Yo. The text messages are coming in. And here's the thing so far. The text messages that are coming in, there's really not one. See, that's the thing about... Okay. I'll say this. I will take criticism from individuals that listen to me 3 hours every single day before I'll take this from my family. Because I think that they are going to be more spot on than anybody in my life.
Yeah.
Mona from Tacoma, I'm not going to say what it is because we're going to be sharing all this at 11:30. I mean, nails it. Nails it. There hasn't been... Hey, Travis, And by the way, Travis is in this too.
Oh, I am. Guys- no, there's somebody who's like, being honest, Travis. And then there is a paragraph. I am.
Woo. The crazy thing is that there hasn't been one that is way off. Like, some of you guys' opinions when we're talking about other things, it's like out of nowhere.
Yeah.
I'm asking you guys to be critical of me, and I'm looking back like, oh, I need maybe to go shower. Are you seeing some, Chef, ooh, too?
Oh, yeah. Spread the love. Share your roasts.
11:30, we're going to be talking about all of the things that you don't like about us. We do that next. It's G&R's show. With the other one. She blew.